You're listening to The Lyric Feature on RTE Lyric FM.
On this week's Lyric Feature, we go west, but also east, as Owen Brady tells the story of the Contempo Quartet, who started out in Bucharest in the 1990s, but have spent most of the last 20 years in Galway. This is Music on the Edge.
De ce nu e tai?
Nu, am vrut să te arăt cum...
Deci vreau mai minte cât te vreau eu atunci.
Ultima notă.
Mi-e teatră, dacă eu mai țineam. Mi-e teatră.
Bine, ok.
It's true, yeah, because when you commit, it's interesting, because when you play Mozart or Swan Hennessy or Jane O'Leary, it is like the word depends on the approach.
It's a matter of life and death in our rehearsals. You know, every note, it's a matter of life and death.
I think we've matured a bit now.
We realize that.
But you see, that...
Not that.
I think that's important, yeah, because that's the only thing we can get ideas. And, I mean, you are true to yourself and to the music.
Yeah,
because if you are, I don't want just to play another note and just to record another. I do the same approach when I play with the orchestra, and I get sometimes in troubles because obviously you cannot bring a soloistic touch in an orchestra, but it's the same thing. I mean, we play such an amazing music in the orchestra. Why don't we enjoy and to play as if it was our last chance, or as if Beethoven was in the audience and we have to please him, you know? So I try to bring, but, you know, everybody has families, different problems, but I think music... It should be type of like a mental health, like yoga, like Pilates. Yeah, once you are there, you have to forget about everything.
I think if you don't love it, it's very difficult to do it. You really have to love it. And it's always the music,
The music which is the most important. And if you can focus on the music, then everything
and then when you go smoothly to this music, you can only tell to yourself, it was worth it. It was worth it. This is amazing music. This is amazing music. And it's still to be discovered, and it's still so much to be done.
We could have started with revolution, with friends killed in the overthrow of a dictator, or with teaching, or the hours and hours of practice and learning and honing technique. But really, there's no contest. When it comes to the Contempo Quartet, it's always best to start with the music. You heard an excerpt from Swan Hennessy's String Quartet No. 1 and the Contempos in studio in Limerick during the premiere recording of this music, debating as passionately as ever about doing their best by the composer's intentions. As an ensemble, the String Quartet has been described as the most democratic of all, with four equal voices.
Hello, my name is Bogdan Chauffey, and I play first violin in Contempo Quartet for a while now.
My name is Ingrid Nicola, and I have the role of playing the second violin line in our string quartet. Now, we had the chance to work with one of our mentors, Zygmunt Niesel, who was the second violinist. in the legendary string quartet. And we've met him in London. We had the opportunity to work with him for about 4 years. And I actually still remember the way he described the string quartet to us, with a big smile on his face, the most generous and kindest smile on his face. And he said, well, the string quartet is like a sandwich. So you have the first piece of bread, the first violin, and then the second piece of bread, the cello, holding that sandwich. And in the middle, you have the filling, the most delicious filling. And that is the line of the second violin and the line of the viola. Now, you wouldn't have a sandwich without that filling. It's not worth it, isn't it? The second violin doesn't have the role to sit on a chair and be modest. So the second violin line had the meaning playing in the medium register, something like this.
Hello, my name is Andrea Banciu, and I'm the violist in the Contempo Quartet. The viola is, compared to the human voice, is the closest in range to the human voice, and it's the instrument that makes the connection between the highest voice, the first violin, and the lowest voice, the cello.
I'm Adrian Mantu, and I play cello, and I'm a cellist of Contempo String Quartet. About my instrument, what can I say? Andrea already said that the viola is the closest to instrument to human voices. I'll say maybe the same for the cello. We can go even a little bit deeper, but as you know, cello has two roles, one to support the quartet, and the first violin creating a bass line and the base of the pyramid for the quartet. But also in many, many string quartets, starting with Mozart, with the Prussian quartets or in Haydn quartets, but of course in Janáček, Dvořák, and other contemporary quartets, it becomes the prima donna of the quartet. So it's kind of chameleon, either being up top and creating beautiful cello lines, solo lines, or supporting the quartet. And I am equally happy in playing the solo lines, but to support the quartet. Even I say sometimes it's even more rewarding. So.
Adrian, Andrea, Ingrid, and Bogdan have been together as a quartet for almost 30 years. And what's remarkable is the fact that throughout this time, their commitment to the music has unwavered. And they bring this passion to whatever they do, as pianist and artistic director of Music for Galway, Finian Collins, explains.
What strikes me, I would say, if I had to pick one word about them, is their versatility. They are so versatile. They can play such a range of repertoire, and they can play it just with such conviction. They have such a genuine and sincere approach to the music making. They seem to get to the core of the music very quickly. They seem to have this innate understanding of how to, you know, it could be a Mozart, or it could be a Shostakovich, or it could be Fauré, or I've, you know, and in my work at Music for Galway, I've engaged them for so many different projects, and, you know, very often with quite specific repertoire choices. I'd really ask them to play really specific pieces to fit in with the theme of something I'm programming, and they would always, first of all, very flexible in their approach. They'd always take on the challenge that I'd put them, and they'd come in with the music, and they play it, you know, in a really learnt way. Like, it's not just they've learnt it quickly, they've really assimilated the music. They're just incredibly flexible and incredibly... one of the great secrets to their success is that they have not changed members in all these years. I mean, many, many, many quartets, they might change a cellist, or the viola player might, and some of them changed viola players twice, for example, over the years. There are many, many, many examples of that. The Contempo, by contrast, have kept this core of the four members, and I think that has stood them to great stead. It really has ensured the quality of their performances has been always really, very high, and their feel as a quartet has remained very solid and very consistent for that reason.
I wonder how much of a factor was that we were two married couples. So maybe that was very important in our stability as a quartet.
As well, yeah. I think the trickiest balance, and it happened with different string quartets, when you'd have one couple and the two other people are not in a couple, that, I think, would bring a very different balance in the string quartet. And
that
basically not a balance.
I
know a few. Not a balance, a disbalance. A disbalance. Having two couples in a string quartet made it very difficult, yet maybe safer in a way, but very difficult as well, because it's not always easy to be objective. I mean, at the end of the day, we are all humans and emotional. And I'm telling you, the four of us were not emotional, but very emotional, some of us at least.
Great West of Ireland filmmaker Bob Quinn made a documentary, Contempo Goes West, about the quartet in the first few years of their move to Ireland. There's a clip of them wandering the Galway market in the laneway by St. Nicholas's Church, instrument cases on their backs, drawing on the parallels between the Irish and the Romanians.
People are very friendly, very open. You really feel like home. Romanian peoples are very Latin. Talking a lot, like they like to spend time together, chatting, telling jokes. So Irish people are the same, so we really feel like being, I don't know, at home in a way. It's a very pleasant feeling, and it's very important. It helps because it's not easier to live apart from your own, I don't know, people or your own family.
Listening to Ingrid in this clip, it's easy to forget that they grew up under Ceausescu's communist dictatorship. Andrea remembers.
What I remember as a child, of course, we had nothing to compare our lives with. We had no access to the Western world. We had no idea what was going on. But I remember life being very hard for our parents. Like, we had very little food. We lived in these communist blocks of flats, and it was really cold. During the winter, we had very heavy winters, minus 20 degrees, big snow. And Ceausescu just cut off the power. We had no electricity, no heating, no food. It was really dreadful. I remember coming from school. I lived on the outskirts, and I traveled by trolley bus from school. It took about an hour to get home.
So I do remember power outages. I do remember cold houses or apartments. I do remember lack of warm water. I do remember queues for buying things, because in the shops you wouldn't find many things. But why don't you take over?
My favorite queue was for cheese. And you would just know whatever it was brought that day in the shop, in the groceries, because you just see on your windows, people running. So that was the sign. It didn't matter what. Something is happening. You had to go. It didn't matter what it was. Cheese, butter, chicken, meat.
The order of things was quite different from today. You would queue immediately and then ask what it is going to.
Chemare nouă, țara o străbate, cincinal, un patru ani și jumătate. Hei, 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 și alele, hei, pentru țara întreagă bogăție, pentru toți o cinste și o mândrie, legământ nescris, pornit din dragoste și vis. Iauzi, ia, hai, 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 hai.
A brief excerpt from Cincinal în patru ani și jumătate. A 5-year in 4.5 plan, a communist propaganda song. By the 1980s, Romania had become a poor country due to Ceausescu's unrealistic ambitions and disastrous management of resources. The irony of this song, urging his people to work harder, better and faster, was lost on no one. And yet, there were positives, specialised music schools that enabled the natural gifts of the country's talented youth to flourish. Andrea and Adrian explain.
Because we went to the specialised music school. That was a good thing, actually.
Yeah, that was something, I always say, this is something I know. There's a good Samaritan there, maybe who popped, I don't know, this idea to Ceausescu and the communist regime at that time that, yeah, they support the arts, they can overthrow the Western culture, just showing them how good they are. I mean, obviously, it was not the guy who did that, was not for this reason, but just to save some of the humanity, to keep the people insane in the country. And actually, that was an amazing thing which happened with those specialized schools. And you're lucky enough because there's no theater where, unfortunately, the guys, they had to do all these communist plays and everything. But these specialized schools like ballet and music and, of course, in sports, the center, specialized sports schools, like when you studied acrobatics and football and everything. So this is where our parents and every parent in Romania wanted to bring their kids, they just to get them away from all this craziness around. So being part of those schools, I think, help us and our parents to stay mentally sane.
I got in touch with this, shall I say, Russian, very competitive way of teaching. I remember I was in one of my last years of secondary school, and my violin teacher asked me, Ingrid, wouldn't you like to go to Odessa? There is a master class there. There is an exchange in between the students from Odessa Academy of Music and Bucharest Academy of Music. And I said, yes, I would like to go. It was one of my first times when I went actually out of the country. So I was very excited about it, I have to say. So here we are in the train, and we pass Chisinau, and we reach Odessa. I was so excited. And then we reached this place. It was a boarding school. And it was only then I realized I was put to sleep in a huge bedroom where other Russian students were sleeping. At 5:30 in the morning, the alarm clock would go on. They, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, would be up, brush their teeth, have a cup of black tea and a slice of toast, and going into the practice rooms in the school of music that was just glued to the boarding school, and starting at 6 a.m. practicing scales. And it was a shock to me. I just couldn't believe that. But for that school, for that culture, for that education, it was something very normal. You had to, it was the competitiveness. You had to survive. So here we go. Next day, Ingrid wakes up at 6 a.m., goes into the, and I know, what am I going to do? Am I going to take the violin, start the scale?
If Ingrid appreciates the rigour of their musical training, with hindsight at least, there were limitations to where they could go and what they could do.
People are aware, of course, we are not allowed to travel in Western Europe, but we are not allowed even to the communist fellow countries. I mean, they had to ask for a visa, and even though I was supposed to represent Romania in some international competition in Czechoslovakia, not a communist country, the wife's, the Elena Ceausescu, the wife of the dictator, because she was the only one who can give, sign if you are allowed to go out of the country or not. And I don't think she had anything against me, but just she didn't bother, yeah.
Thank you. part of Easter Lambs by the traditional musician Charlie Lennon, Irish-American composer Jane O'Leary reflects on what makes the string quartet so special as a musical force.
The string quartet's an amazing combination. It's quite unique. I just find it extraordinary that you've got four very individual voices. And in contempo quartet, you have four completely distinct personalities. But when the four play a quartet piece of music, it's like one instrument, and it is so amazing. They lose their personal identity in many ways to become a part of this one instrument with four heads. And on the other hand, the balance always shifts from one to the other. It might be the viola you're hearing, it might be the cello who has the foreground, but they are working as a unit. That's what makes it alive, because there's this constant thinking process, I feel, behind the music, that it's in motion and it's adjusting. And if somebody hears something, they'll adapt their sound to that, and they'll all try to work together as they progress through the music.
And if this listening, technical ability and musical understanding was developed through the Russian approach to teaching music under communism in the 1980s, in December 1989, Ceausescu's Romania was about to undergo a dramatic revolution.
Ceausescu nu fi trist, Iliescu-i comunist. Ceausescu nu fi trist, Iliescu-i comunist. Ceausescu nu fi trist.
Culminates a year of incredible change in Eastern Europe. The Stalinist regime of Romanian dictator Nicolae Ceausescu has collapsed. Joining me now from Yugoslavia, where he's been monitoring Romanian TV broadcasts, is Pierre Vicary. Pierre, tell us first of all about the confusion about the state or the status of Nicolae Ceausescu and his family.
Well, it's still a bit confused. We're now being told that he's been recaptured at a place called Târgoviște, which is about 75 kilometres northwest of the capital, Bucharest. He's supposed to be under military control, and he's supposed to be on his way back to the capital, Bucharest. But the story has changed so much today that I wouldn't put my last penny on it.
Has there been bloodshed in Bucharest today?
We say that there's supposed to have been a shooting heard in the last few minutes, but so far today, since early this morning, when, of course, protesters were being attacked by tanks, when Ceausescu was still in control, there has not been bloodshed.
Lots of people my age, because I was 15, 16 at the time, were killed, because we are crazy enough to think that we can change a regime just going out and just say this is not right, and we want to change that. And that night I could have been easily killed. My father locked me in the house. And thanks God, because I'm still alive, but lots of people my age were killed there. And then, of course, it was like a roller coaster after that, when the people found out and lots of people came on the streets and everything, and that started. But the revolution, I always want to mention, this one was made by teenagers. They started this. And then, of course, everybody was fed up with those communist regime. And sorry, I didn't have to say. Being aware of the situation and all this, yeah.
Yes.
Listening to them recall the overthrow of Ceausescu and the rigours of their early years, the opportunities for travel that suddenly opened up must have been eye-opening for them.
Actually, when you went to, I was shocked when you went to Canada and then to London, and the people were saying, oh, you play brilliant, you're amazing. And I say, what's this? I mean, we are here to learn, to tell us what we are playing. Really, we know we are not good. We have to improve. But actually, we are good enough for that one. And a bit provincial, put it this way, because without having access to the Western civilizations, like in music and arts and the IT and anything, you have to be up to date. I mean, we are laughing now at great masters at their recordings, which were recorded 10 or 15 years ago. And now it's a different way of playing. Imagine at that time. So we got quite a lot after we left the country, all people saying about the provincial way of playing and to learn. Of course, we were very quick learners and we want, but I think that's why it was great to leave and to learn more about music. But saying that, we had the base, the technical base, which allowed us to absorb quickly all those new ideas and to become part of us, because yeah, we change as human beings and as a society so quite regularly. And now with the artificial intelligence coming to the picture, we have to be able to adapt to every single situation. So I think adaptability, it's one of the best quality of any musician.
And adaptable they certainly were in accepting the offer of Galway Music Residency to become their ensemble in residence in the city. An offer that came following Adrian's determination to apply, despite the reservations of the others.
Ah, no, we are not ready yet. We still need to practice to study some more. No, that is a job, really. We don't. And he did a whole file. He wrote everything that was necessary, and he sent the file. We didn't even think, actually, that we would...
Yeah, usually I don't take no as an answer, yeah.
And it's a good thing, too, that they did apply, because the music lovers of Galway were getting frustrated. Jane O'Leary, who was a founding member of Galway Music Residency, explains.
We had a lot of applications for the position. It was a big step for Galway. We had for a long time felt that we needed professional musicians living here, that having concerts wasn't enough. We were rather frustrated by the situation of going to a concert and having the artists go home the next day.
The end of Beethoven's String Quartet No. 5 in A minor. Maeve Bryan, Executive Director of Galway Music Residency, talks about the impact of the Contempo Quartet on the city and its young musicians.
So Galway Music Residency, we are 20 years old this year. It's our 20th anniversary. It was envisaged first as kind of a rolling residency programme where we would have an artist or a group of artists for 3 years. And move on. And that didn't happen because Contempo were the first selected group and Galway fell in love with them and genuinely wouldn't let them go. And so our program has kind of evolved over the years. It's not a traditional residency program. It's a long-term residency and we're really working on developing those long-term partnerships and relationships with other musicians, with other art forms, with schools, with other arts organisations in Galway, really across the board. So it's become a very development-focused programme.
Conductor Sinead Hayes elaborates.
I'm from Galway originally, so I suppose I have been associated with the Galway Music Residency for the last few years since moving back from Berlin. So I've been lucky enough to work with the Contempos on various projects, and I suppose for the last 3 years I've been artistic director of this project, which is the ensemble skills course for Galway Music Residency. So we invite young string players from all over the county and the country to come work with Contempo on their terms. So the idea is that the young players get their fingers on the real music by Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, not arrangements. It's the real stuff, it's the real notes they wrote, and it's really tricky, it's really hard. So the idea is in 2 days, you're not going to get it perfect, but you'll get enough to hopefully take you through the next year and start you on a journey of discovery into these amazing composers.
Okay, that was really good. And now maybe can we start the piece one more time? I just want to see, before we do it actually, if you think there is a more tensed, we call it a climax.
My name is Emer Hancock. I'm a 12-year-old cellist and I've been playing since I was about 4 years old. I love meeting new people and the opportunities with the really experienced professionals teaching us here. And
okay. Yeah, that could be true because I see it's quite high as well. So it could be. And a bit chromatic. So chromaticism adds tension.
She was kind of telling me things and I just kind of understood them. It wasn't hard to respond to it because I could just I already knew the piece, so it was easy to just do those corrections.
It's very important that the teacher is by your side and it's supportive and trying to be as clear as you can, telling them what would be helpful and what to think of, what to work on. And I think above all, just encourage them and be supportive. Tell them that they are on the right path, they are doing the right thing, and just to encourage them to keep doing it. Sometimes for a child that could be difficult, just to be patient. Patience is the most difficult thing at that age.
Very quiet, yeah. Mm. Oh, the... Yeah. That was so funny, Adrian's writing about that. I don't know. Yeah. They did record the ending note a lot.
Jane O'Leary, remembering the creation and recording of her work, The Passing Sound of Forever, with the Contempo Quartet.
Began to get the idea to write this piece after hearing Contempo perform Beethoven's Opus 95 quartet. So the opening few notes got stuck in my head. I guess I sat down around 2013 at some point, started writing, and seeing where I could go with this very same phrase. Exact same notes. And it was at least 2 years later when I got to the end of it. I wanted to write a piece for Contempo. There was no commission. It wasn't anything that had a performance date. It was just something I felt I really wanted to do. And it took me quite a while. Other things intervened. I don't usually plan or anticipate how the music is going to go. I let it direct me as I'm working on it. So this one decided it was going to fade away into nothingness, float into the ether and stay with us afterwards.
Of course, we started to work with Jane O'Leary quite regularly, being the only musicians at that time living on the West Coast, and that was a great thing for the residency to bring a string quartet to live in the area and to connect with the musicians and the community. And with Jane, yeah, we had the chance to work for years and years, and we brought in a way the composing saga to a next level, because finally a composer, like in Haydn or Bach time, had the chance to live and work with musicians on a daily basis. And maybe that's why this connection between ourselves and Jane developed over the years. And with fantastic results, we've been performing her pieces a lot, both in Ireland and abroad, with great success. And also her way of writing, which fits fantastically well in any classical program, because yeah, it's very airy, full of harmonics and dreaming.
Anyway, I wanted to fading to a really quiet, and I ended with just the viola and the cello with one note, a very quiet note, with a very quiet sound, partly using the wood of the bow. Just something, almost not a sound. And it was very tricky to achieve that, but I know that Adrian and Andrea put a lot of effort into finding a special sound which would make the listener sort of say, oh, what is that? It doesn't sound like a viola and a cello. And oh, the piece has just disappeared.
Coming back now to Jane and to Ireland, when I did my research about the string quartet in Ireland, I just realized that from 1916, so in the Republican Ireland, the string quartet became one of the most popular musical genre for Irish composers. And with our quartet, so happy that we performed more than half of them written, and if not even more nowadays.
Other notable collaborations have been with Irish trad musicians. Here's a young Adrian Mantu in Bob Quinn's 2003 documentary, Contempo Goes West, describing their first meeting with the accordion player Martin O'Connor.
We realised that he's playing by heart, from memory. He can't read music. We realised that we read music and we can't improvise. I mean, we didn't know at the time, but we were saying, OK, but how can we work together? I mean, if you read music and you play by ear, how can it be together? What can you do? So he said, no, it's fine. He told us a few jokes. I don't know, maybe we had a glass of wine, and then it's okay. He started to play. Wow, Bach, Bach, Dita. What's this? No, I heard it in the radio a few times. Come on, and do you have a musical? No, I just heard it in the radio. And you play immediately? Yeah. And you realize he has a fantastic talent. You just play for him a tune a few times, and then he's reproducing the tune note by note, bar by bar. So you can play with music, and he's playing by ear, and we finish together. It's fantastic. So I say, wow, it's easy.
Yeah, it's actually quite wonderful It's a wonderful musical experience, and for me, also it's an educational experience in that it gives me great insight, I think, into the way that they work and the kind of multidimensional way in which they look at a score, you know, and find the ultimate expression as a unit for the score. You know, I hadn't realised, pardon my ignorance, I hadn't fully realised this depth of work, I suppose, and commitment and so forth, as regards string quartets or, I suppose, classical musicians in general.
Excerpt from the box of Oran Moore with Martin O'Connor and the Contempo Quartet. And 20 plus years later, the quartet are still collaborating.
So my name is Andrew Medek. I'm the coordinator of That's Life Arts Programme. And That's Life is an arts programme that is in the Brothers of Charity Services in Galway. And we provide opportunities for adults with intellectual disabilities to take part in arts projects in visual arts, music, and theatre. And this project is kind of one of our long-running music projects, the Gamelan Ensemble. And basically it came out of, we commissioned a gamelan to get made in Indonesia about 10 years ago. And since then we've been using it to work with kind of accessible music making and co-composition and general, you know, skill building with music through using that ensemble.
So you played it, four times.
Until we reach 111 bars, yeah?
And what do the gamelan musicians think? Here's Kiago Silva and Lorraine Mahan.
It's a good experience and I love it. And I enjoy working again.
It's my first time working at the Contempo.
And I'm enjoying the parts, what Andrew does, the counting and all of us counting together, do some piece, looking at each other, experiencing at each other. Guess we're all working together, all together.
I really love music.
I think that's important because as in Romania, you know, you don't need music only in the capital city, in Bucharest, in Romania, or in Dublin. It's important to have musical centers basically everywhere to bring music as close as possible to music lovers.
The Romanian ambassador to Ireland, Laurent Mihai Stefan, on the importance of music being available to everyone. Creativity and community, he says, are intrinsically linked.
So we had Academica in Cork, now we have Contempo in Galway. And I think we need this type of musicians who are not only, you know, solid interpreters of established and famous pieces of 18th, 19th century, but trying to keep this momentum of, you know, creating again and again, never stop, because that's part of our the life of our communities.
Thank you.
It's true, because first of all, we don't want to consider ourselves cellists, violists, violinists, consider musicians. But then it's the next level, because it's not just music, just pleasant for our ears. Yeah, it's more than that. So then to do that, you have to be an artist. And to be an artist, you have to have knowledge outside your inner box. Yeah?
We were younger, yeah, when you moved to Galway as well. And exactly. That's what we were doing at the time. We were preparing competitions, so we were very much focused on the string quartet and exactly what we were doing. But since we've come here,
definitely, yeah, I mean,
we're collaborating with so many artists, Gaulish, we've learned so much.
And I would say we are a Galwegian string quartet, because everything influences here, the weather, so you can't complain, because this influenced the way we are now, and Connemara, and the history, and of course, this way of not to take yourself too seriously and to listen to other people before talking about yourself, and just try to create something for community. So then there's no pressure, there's no drama, and it's just, we are all part of this cultural project, which I think it's essential for us as human beings.
And it's always the music,
it's
which
always
is...
always the music which is the most important. And if you can focus on the music, then everything
and
comes.
And then when you go smoothly to this music, you can only tell to yourself, it was worth it. It was worth it. This is amazing music.
Contempo Quartet in Beethoven's String Quartet No. 11 in F minor, recorded at the National Concert Hall in 2018. Ending that programme, Music on the Edge. Music on the Edge was presented and produced by Owen Brady. Incidentally, today is Great Union Day, the national holiday of Romania, and we wish them the best of luck with their elections, which were scheduled for today, as we send our thanks for the gift of their musicians. You can listen to that programme on our website, or indeed podcast it from the RTE radio player or your preferred podcast platform. You can contact the Lyric Feature by email, features.lyricfm@rte.ie. It's always good to get your feedback. The series producer is Owen O'Kelly and the production coordinator is Michael O'Kane. The programme was funded by the RTE Independent Radio Productions Unit and Cumasún na mBan's Sound and Vision Funding Scheme, all made possible by your television license fee.